All right, great to be with you today. As the Giants and Twins, game two of this interleague series. The Twins won it last night, 9-0. And the Giants try to even this series today behind Alex Cobb, Sonny Gray for the Twins. A pleasure to bring in Megan Ryan. She covers the Twins for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Megan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. You have the best Twitter name that I've seen yet, and I want to award you the prize for the year. It is
Thank you.
Go ahead. You can say what it is. I love it.
It's the other Meg Ryan, which people of a certain age will understand, and younger people maybe not. But it's a good joke if you're old enough.
If you're Sleepless in Seattle or Harry and Sally or whatever, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you on the show, but your Twitter handle is the best I've seen this year. So, what's the weather like? I just saw Susan Slusser had a picture on Twitter of the weather. What's it looking like now?
Yeah, you know, they were able to do a little bit of BP out there, and it was looking, you know, cloudy, but not too bad. And then they put the tarp out, and then it's kind of downpoured there for like 5 or so minutes. And there was a little bit of thunderstorm. You could hear all of that going on. So it's a little wet out there still. I think that it's going to be a little patchy, the weather-wise. So I think they will probably get the game in. I know that there's, like, another kind of front that's going to come through around, I think, 7 or so. And then I think another around 10, if I remember my radar correctly. So it's going to be interesting. There might be a rain delay here or there. I have a feeling they'll probably be able to get the game done, but who really knows? Mother Nature.
All right. All right. That's Midwest weather in the summer. Megan Ryan is with us, Minneapolis Star Tribune. Well, I've watched the Twins all week on TV against the Houston Astros, and the Astros really just chewed them up. The Twins couldn't hit at all. They ended up losing 6 in a row until last night. What's going on with this ball club right now?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I guess that's the whole thing with sports. It's a game of momentum and swings, and sometimes you're winning, sometimes you're losing, and it's kind of whoever can outlast the bad and keep the good stuff going. So really, it's hard to say. I mean, they were not hitting well, and that was the problem. Other times in the year, it had been the pitching, especially the bullpen, but all of that kind of pulled together, and then all of a sudden, the hitting that had been pretty consistent all year kind of went into the tanker. So it was tough, and I think facing Houston and the pitchers that they have, you know, the best team in the American League, that was just always going to be a pretty bad thing. So maybe they just got, you know, through that rough patch and decided, okay, here's a team we can finally take advantage of. It's like kind of a similar team to the Texas Rangers, who also should have been a beatable team, but that they dropped 3 or 4 against before going to Houston. So I don't know. I think some things came together. I think what also helped is Kyle Garlick was back in the lineup for the first time in 21 games. He's their kind of lefty hitting specialist, and he got injured right at the time when they were facing like 10 plus lefties in the 21 games he was out. So that was tough. So the fact that they had a Kyle Garlick back at the top of the lineup against a left-handed hitter, you know, maybe that was kind of the spark they needed to put up some runs. And then now I guess we'll just see, can they sustain that now they kind of broke out of the slump? Is that something they can keep reproducing night after night? So that remains to be seen.
No, we'll see. Now, they made moves over the winter, and they've done things. They brought in relief pitchers. Correa is there. Have they underachieved, overachieved, or are they about what you thought?
It's really hard to say. I don't even know what my expectations were. I mean, I remember last season in 2021, the expectations were so high because they'd been so good in 2019, and they were good in the pandemic season of 2020. And then, you know, this was kind of 2021 was supposed to be the year that they were going to break the playoff curse and finally win a game and all this stuff. And then they were horrible, which was kind of unexpected. And so coming into this year, I think we were all kind of like, it's probably not going to be much better. But then they made some pretty decent signings. Like, nothing was too flashy at first with, like, Sonny Gray and, you know, getting Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela from New York. But then I think when the Carlos Correa signing happened, which was truly out of left field and none of us really saw that coming at all, getting kind of one of the best free agents on the market, albeit for a sort of short-term, possibly only one-year deal. But that kind of changed things. And so I think then our expectations are a little bit higher. And they mostly, I think, have like lived up to that. You know, they didn't start the season off the strongest, but then they really kind of hit their stride about a month in, and then they were doing pretty well up until about a month ago. And then that's when, you know, they kind of started to go a bit on a losing streak. And now obviously they're behind, I think, 3.5 games to Cleveland in the Central American League Central. So It's hard to say. Like, I think my expectations were that, like, you know, once they got Correa, they would make the playoffs. I do still think that that's a reasonable goal that they can definitely achieve. But I also think that they've made it a little tougher on themselves this season than it needed to be at times. So, yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's a good story. They've been very aggressive. Tyler Malley is there, and he's been injured now. So what does the schedule look like in September? Are there a lot of games left with the White Sox and the Guardians?
Yeah, there is. So that's what's interesting is, like, this last month of the season is not easy. You've got trips to, I think, like, I know for sure the White Sox, I'm pretty sure Cleveland, too, coming up. You've got a trip to New York, which is a four-game series there, which is never easy. And, yeah, so there's a lot of divisional games left. There's a lot of, like, American League games left. There's just a lot going on. And when it is also tied up there at the top of the American League Central, I think it's, you know, Cleveland is on top. Twins are 3.5 games back. And I want to say that the White Sox are like 4 or 4.5 games back. So there's not a lot of room separating those guys. And the thing is with the strength of the American League Central being what it is this year, which is not very strong, the wild card is a possibility, but like a lot of other things would kind of have to happen for that for it to be possible that another American League Central team gets into the playoffs on that front. So it's kind of like you got to win the division to really like make sure that this happens for you. And so it's going to be kind of crazy. And I think that's why the Twins have maybe in some ways been a little more level-headed about the recent slide they went on, is that they know there's these really important games coming up, and like you win a couple of those and it changes things pretty fast.
Great report.
Perhaps that's why they're being positive.
Yeah, no, great report. No, you've laid it out beautifully for us. So who are the key players down the stretch? Now, of course, we saw Kyle Garlick last night had the big game. Correa had the home run. Sanchez had a home run. Ryan pitched great last night. He was in trouble, but he got out of trouble. He's got quality pitches when he needs it. So what's the key for this team going down the stretch here? Well, what's got to happen?
Well, I think it's the same that probably every team wants, is just getting everything on the same page at the same time. The Twins have had really good hitting, but then the bullpen has blown games late. And then the pitching has been pretty good, and then the hitting's been gone, you know? So there are things like that that have cropped out throughout the year where some aspects have been working while some have not, and it's kind of just undone all the work that the other side did that was good. So now, like last game, the win last night against the Giants was kind of something that felt like they put some things together. The starting pitcher, good. The bullpen, good. The hitting, good. So if you can continue that for more than just one game or more than just this series, I think that bodes really well heading into the postseason, because obviously you want to be playing your best baseball. But I think a lot of the keys are kind of to be determined, right? Like Byron Buxton's a big one. He's obviously one of the best players on the team, the starting center fielder. They're better statistically and like everything when he is on the field. And he's been hurt all season with the knee injury, and then now he's finally gone on the IL with his hip thing, which is sort of related to the knee thing. And he's questionable. Like, I know he wants to get back before the season ends, but I'm a little concerned with how long he's dealt with stuff this year and played through it, that I'm not sure how fast that's going to come back. And so if he should return in time to make a playoff push or be there in the postseason, I think that's going to be a real game changer, because he's somebody that, you know, you want that bat in your lineup, especially when it's in a do or die situation. But I guess we'll see. But that's going to be one of the biggest things, is if he can really kind of turn it on and come back, especially pairing with Correa. That's a pretty unstoppable duo.
Yep, I agree with you. Absolutely. What should we expect from Sonny Gray today? And I didn't realize he's 32 already. You know, he always seems like he's a kid who just came in the other day, but 32 years old. What kind of a season is he having? What should we kind of expect out of him?
Yeah, you know, he's got a very, like, youthful aura about him. We've commented on that within the Minnesota media, whatever that is. I don't know. But, you know, he is somebody that I think has actually taken on a big leadership role on this team, despite, you know, maybe people thinking he's still pretty young. He's an older guy. He's a veteran guy. He's been around. He's been traded a couple times, been to different teams. So he kind of knows the game, and he knows baseball. And I think that's something that the starting rotation, I mean, it was completely rebuilt from last year's Twins starting rotation, which was bad and was basically undone by the trade deadline last season. So coming into this year, it's like you add a bunch of people, and like, you know, you got two young guys in Bailey Ober and Joe Ryan that kind of, you know, started their MLB careers at the end of last season, but that was really it. But then you bring in someone like Sonny Gray, you bring in someone like Chris Archer, who's another kind of older veteran guy. And you bring in Dylan Bundy, who's kind of somewhere in the middle. And so you've got this kind of new group, and they needed a little bit of direction. And I feel really that Sonny has been someone that has kind of pulled them all together into a cohesive unit. And he's been someone that's been like helpful. I think he's fostered a sort of camaraderie within that group where they all learn from each other and they watch each other's bullpens and they like get better and talk. And, you know, I don't think that always happens in starting rotations. So I think that's really good. And I think he brings a levity to it. Like, he's been someone that, you know, he doesn't really say it and you maybe wouldn't think it to look at him, but like, he does a lot of fun stuff that brings the group together. Like, he's got this little like Japanese Zen rock garden situation in the empty locker next to his, and there's like incense and stuff. And so like, there's like, that's kind of a whole like mystery situation. And then they had this funny thing where they made a bet where every pitcher that catches the pop foul, you get $500 because it's like $100 from every starter or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a big thing when Joe Ryan once caught one and he like pointed right at the dugout and was like flashed like the 500 because he knew he was collecting. So he does a lot of fun things like that. And I think that brings a levity to it. And then on top of it, you know, he can go out there and pitch pretty well and be very commanding. And he's very, you know, demanding of himself. So I think he's always looking to keep getting better. So he's brought a lot of good stuff to the Twins this year.
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch him tonight. We know him quite well from the Bay Area. All right, last question to you very quickly. It is now opening day 2023. Where does Carlos Correa play?
Man, tough question. It really is hard to say because I think when he signed and also when, you know, just throughout the first part of the season, all of us are like, yeah, there's no way. There's no way he stays beyond one season because why would you? Because you want to be a free agent, you want to get the big maximum deal and the biggest deal as you can, and he's a really good player. So we always kind of thought this was a tie-over deal because he switched agents and it was lockout and blah, blah, blah. But then he went to Houston this last road trip and kind of somebody, you know, asked in his press conference, you know, what's the deal with Minnesota? And he said, like, I'm really happy there and I kind of envision myself playing there for a long time, or I hope I can. And I feel like that's something you don't really like. You can get around that question without saying that, you know, without like instilling hope. You can just be like, oh yeah, like we'll see, I'm focusing on the season. But he didn't say that. He kind of like gave this little glimmer of hope, like, oh yeah, I really like it here and I would like to stay. So who knows? I think there's some things that have changed. You know, his stats are maybe not as good as he wants them to be this year. The shortstop market and free agency this upcoming season, off season, is going to be a little bit more saturated. Maybe he's not going to get as big of a deal as he might want if he plays another year in Minnesota or gets this team to the playoffs and does pretty well and then has another good year. You know, who's to say? There's a lot that's still up in the air, but I could see it. I'm not going to say I'm 100% convinced that he's going to do it, but I could see it. So maybe we'll take him. He's a great quote, so hopefully he sticks around.
Great. Great report, Megan. I really appreciate it. Megan Ryan, Minneapolis Star Tribune, the other Meg Ryan on Twitter. Thanks so much, and we'll catch up with you again. Good report. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. More coming up. Bill Madden, Hall of Fame baseball writer, New York Daily News, is next right here on the Sports Leader.